Blog Talk Radio.
Live.
We are taking advantage of this privilege, of this opportunity to use the internet as a means of spreading God's word, God's love, God's wisdom, compassion, and care and salvation. He meant for all people of all races in the world. Now, we are using this technology because we believe that every means of propagating God's word must be availed by someone who is concerned about the salvation of others, as it was done by the Apostle Paul in the first century church. Although they lack the means and the resources to fully propagate God's word, but they have tried their very best in propagating God's word in every manner available in their time. You can just imagine the apostles writing on, not on pieces of paper as we have conveniently, as we conveniently have them now, and using writing materials, which is not as convenient as we can use now. They do not have tape recorders, telephones, cell phones, or other means of communications or media, but they have tried their very best in spreading God's word. And I want you, Brother Rodel, to please read the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 20. He said in 1 Corinthians 9:20, "And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some." If you have noticed that concluding portion of verse 22, "that I might," he said, "by all means save some." So every available means during the time of the Apostle Paul, he used, and he tried his best with God's help to propagate the words of God, to gain the Jews, the weak, to gain people, to make them be converted into godliness and to the righteousness being taught by Christ in the gospel. So I believe that we are now faced with a greater responsibility than that was faced by the apostles 2,000 years ago. Because we have now all the technology and the resources that can be used in propagating God's word. And that compels me, brothers and sisters, to use every available means of communication to all people of the world so that the words of God may be known unto everybody for the salvation of souls. I have used my mouth, as it was recorded in the book of Corinthians chapter 10. I have used my mouth for some time without any public address system. I have done public meeting in the provinces of Pampanga, Bulacan, and Bataan for almost 14 years by my mouth only, without any use of public address system. And came the 1980s when I started using the radio. On 1983, I started using the television. In the mid-1990s, I think, I started using the internet. And now we are here in this website, the Talk Show website, in order to avail of the privilege that we have now to speak with people, even though I do not see all of you. I believe that there are people out there, there are souls out there that can be reached with God's help, help for the propagation of His word and for the attainment of salvation of souls. Now, I want to discuss a very important topic because, God willing, if we are going to continue this podcast, we are going to use the Bible as a basis of our research, as a basis of our quest for the truth. I am telling everyone that the Bible will be our means of studying all the truth that we ought to know. Why the Bible? Maybe you will ask me. There are other books which are respected by other religious groups, used as basis of their faith, basis of their services to their God, and basis of their way of life. Well, I do not question. I respect their decision to use other books. But as far as my researches are concerned, I have found out that of all religious books being used by more or less 6 billion people on earth, I have found that the Bible is the best book that can be used to serve God, to know things about God, to be spiritually aware of the truth, and to be materially prepared, morally prepared, to live in these perilous times, in this perilous world. Now, there are questions coming in, and exactly that is what we are expecting. How are you sure that the Bible is the Word of God? It came from, what's that? Is that the name? Rational thought. And I hope you will be living up to the name that you have registered in our room, that you will be rational. I hope, and I thank you for shooting that question to me. How am I sure? Because I have introduced a while ago that we are going to use, or along the way, we are going to use the Bible as the basis of our study, of our broadcast, of our communications. You have your Bible, I have mine. I do not know what kind of Bible you are using. Maybe it's another version than the version that I'm using, but I believe with God's help we will have a meeting of minds, brothers and sisters. But before we go to that point, somebody is asking in the room, why the Bible? Why the Bible? As I have said earlier, as far as my personal research is concerned, I do not care about the research that was done by other people. It is my personal research. For the last 43 years of my life, I have been in constant research about books that are being used by people to worship their God. Basis of their faith, morals, their customs, their traditions, etc. And sometimes basis of governing a nation, not only a very small nation, but large nations, maybe continents, are using books as the basis of their faith. And that is wise. I do not refute that. That is wise to do something with a basis. It is foolish and it is a folly if we are going to do things without basis. That is very elementary. It's a very elementary that we have to learn. Anything that we do in this life must have basis. You do not just talk. You do not just do things. Engineers do not just build buildings or whatever he wants to build. He must have a basis, a foundation of what he is going to build or to do. Just like a teacher who teaches in a school, she must or he must have a basis of the things that he teaches. A professor in a law school uses the book of laws of a particular country to teach law to that particular country. An engineer uses mathematics, physics, and some branches of science as a basis of acquiring his knowledge as an engineer, whether it be electrical engineer or whether it be a civil engineer that he is going to study. If he is going to study civil engineering, then he will be using those books that are prescribed by a particular country in order to give license to that engineer. Likewise, in studying law, a prescribed book approved by the authorities of a particular country must be used as basis. Now, when it comes to religion, maybe you know what is my point, everybody of you out there. Good evening to everyone again. Buenas noches. To everyone. Maybe you will ask, and somebody actually have asked, why are we going to use the Bible as basis when it comes to religion or when it comes to faith, when it comes to spiritual things? Because as far as my research is concerned, I believe with all my heart that it is only the Bible, above all books that I have read in religion, that tells me of rational truth. Truth that is not refutable. A kind of truth that is hard truth, cannot be just bent. A truth that cannot be easily perverted or controverted. Maybe you will be asking me, why are there truths that are easily bent or controverted or refuted? There are even scientific truths that are now being controverted by another scientific truth that they have recently discovered. And for that, we will have time in studying such such things. Man or human truth believed by men for so many centuries can be proven false in this modern dispensation, brothers and sisters and friends. Now, why the Bible? Because as far as my study is concerned, I have proven that the Bible contains in it, in its pages, or let us say in its verses, because they have divided the Bible into verses and chapters. They contain irrefutable truth, friends, brothers, and sisters. And that we are going to prove as we go along. But why the Bible? First, as I have said, I believe that it is the only book that speaks of the whole truth, the hard truth, and nothing but the truth. But how am I going to prove that? Well, let me prove this to you by engaging on something which is not very common to other books that are being used as religious books on the faith. Travel the world, read all religious books, and you will not find prophecies as exact as it is in the Bible. No other books in the possession of mankind tells us of things that will happen before it happens. And it is a guarantee that the Bible is above all books on earth. Let me read to you a verse in the book of Isaiah chapter 42 verse 9, which says, "Behold," it is the Lord that he speaks in this particular verse. 42 verse 9. "Behold, the former things come to pass, and new things do I declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." You see that? In Spanish it says, "Las cosas primeras he aquí vinieron. Y yo anuncio nuevas cosas. Antes que salgan a luz, yo os la haré notorias." You see, this is the difference of the Bible than other religious. The Bible can foretell future events. Exactly. No prophecy in the Bible ever failed. When they come to fulfillment, they are fulfilled in details. They are not just like the prophecy or the foretelling of events that was done by the famous, Nostradamus, believed by so many people in the world. There are failures in the things that were foretold by Nostradamus, somebody who is believed by so many people to have future. But there are failures in the prophecies, if we can call them prophecies of Nostradamus. But I dare anybody to tell me or to prove to me that there are prophecies in the Bible that were not fulfilled. And when they are fulfilled, they have not been fulfilled in detail. I believe that it is only the Bible that contains such a truth. Coming from the Creator, coming from the Almighty, who sees things before they happen. That's why it is only the Bible that tells us of things that are going to come in the future. That is God's signature in the Bible. That the Bible is an extraordinary book. It comes from someone who sees the future. Someone who can scientifically and mathematically foretell the future. And to prove that, brothers and sisters, let me tell you something that the Bible prophesied almost 3,000 years ago. I want to read again for our late tuners the book of Daniel chapter 12 verse 4. This is a prophecy that was written by the prophet Daniel, and it is according to what God had told him. God said, "But thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. You see, the Bible speaks of the end, the time of the end. Maybe scientists and physicists and other philosophers do not believe that there is an end. But I believe because God said so. And there is such thing as the time of the end. We will study that later, the time of the end. But according to the Bible, when the time of the end comes, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I want you to take note of that. That was written by Daniel some 3 millennia ago. Nobody will even suspect. Maybe 2 centuries ago, nobody will even suspect that there will be a Hubble Space Telescope that can look into the far areas of the universe some 13.5 billion light years away. Nobody knows that 200 years ago. But this was written by Daniel 3,000 years ago, almost 3,000 years ago, when God told him that in the time of the end, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. I remember last week when I had seen a teaser at the CNN, when they are asking the question, is our planet in peril? I had seen the documentary, The Planet Earth. Certainly, what you can see is that so many things are coming to its end on that movie. So I now even more believe that the Bible is telling us the truth. There is really an end to everything that exists. Speaking of material things on this world, there is an appointed time of the end. Believe it, refute it, or whatever you may have in your heart. But I will say what I know. Basically, the world will end. And most scientists do agree to that, that there is a time of the end. There are scientists that tells us that about 5 billion years from now, the sun will be exhausted of its energy and will cool down, just like a star that fades away. And no scientific mind will refute that. There is definitely a time of the end. And that the end being spoken here by God to Prophet Daniel is the end of the world. We are not talking about the end of the sun, or the end of the moon, or the end of the solar system, or the Milky Way galaxy, but we are talking of the time of the end on Earth. Remember that the Earth is a separate body than those that we see around us through the microscope or through the telescope. But there definitely will come the time of the end on this world. In fact, so many have ended already. There are animals that are extinct. There are floras and there are plants. There are species of insects in the sea that have been extinct for quite some time. And so many species now face extinction. So the Bible is true, and it says that there is a time of the end. And at the time of the end, according to the Bible, many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Who will suspect that in the time of Daniel 2,000 or 3,000 years ago, or maybe make it a little closer to our time, in the time of the first president of the United States, some 200 more than 200 years ago, who will suspect that there will be a computer, or there will be a cell phone, or there will be a satellite out there transferring information from another, from a side of the globe to the other side of the globe. But this all happened so that God can show us that He knows the future. Knowledge shall be increased. Now, nobody will refute that knowledge now has increased enormously than it was 200 years ago. And with this kind of information, the Bible is alone in telling us definitely what will happen in the future. Even with regards to people's character, even with regards to health, science, diseases, the Bible has information or contains information about all those things that will happen before they happen. It will only be a lengthy discussion if I'm going to tell you all these things about medicine, about pestilences, about earthquakes, about what is happening now in the world. It were all foretold by the Bible, making the Bible the only book existing on earth that tells us of the future. It is not in the book of the Vedas of the Hindus. It is not in the book of Shoghi Effendi of the Baha'i Faith. It is not in the book of philosophers like Confucius, etc. It is not in the book of famous scientists that ever lived on earth, but they are in the Bible. That's why we are going to use the Bible. And for more information about the Bible, let me have the right to reserve that for another topic. How do we prove the authenticity of the Bible? But I believe there are separate topics that we must study. But now, for our premier broadcast, I just want to show you how are we going to use the Bible. How are we going to use the Bible? Everybody uses the Bible. Pastors, ministers, priests, etc. Even the enemies of the Bible. And mind you, brothers and sisters, to give you just a trivia, the Bible is the bestseller of all time. More than 6 billion copies sold worldwide. Enough for every human being on earth to have a copy. More than 6 billion was sold. That is in the book of facts. Is that the Reader's Digest or the top 10 of everything? It records the Bible as the best seller book of all times. Of all times. The book of Confucius is second only, selling about 1 million. Is that 1 million or 1 billion? How much sold? The book of Confucius is second online, but the Bible is the first. It has sold some 6 billion copies. And the book of Mao Zedong, the works of Mao Zedong in 1966 sold about 900 million. See? It's very far from the Bible. The Bible is the most popular book of all on earth. And you may wonder, brothers and sisters, may I add to that information, brother technician? The Bible is the most trampled book of all. It is the most defamed book. It is the most maligned book. It is the most misused book. And it is the most controversial book. No other book have this record on earth than the Bible. And it is the most perverted book, may I add to that. And let us prove that. It is in the Bible. For you to believe the Bible, that it knows what will happen in the future, let us read. In the book of Galatians chapter, if you are going to follow me, if you have your Bible at your home, at your house, at your homes. Let me read to you the book of Galatians, chapter 1, verse 7. Which is not another. Which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. You see, the Bible and the gospel is the target of perversion, brothers and sisters. So there was a warning written by the apostles of our Lord. Let us read 1:8 of the book of Galatians. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. I hope you understand the way I speak your language. To the Englishmen that are tuned in to us right now, I hope you are going to excuse my English or to be patient in listening to the kind of English that I use, because I was not born with an English tongue. I am a Tagalog. I am a Filipino. But I'm just trying to communicate with you in English, because we know that English is now the international language being used by so many countries in the world, especially when it comes to trading and business. But our business is a non-profit business, and this is propagating the Word of God. And we can use English as a medium of instruction or communication with people, but I'm just asking for your patience, just to be patiently listening to my kind of English. The Bible tells us in Galatians 1:8 that there are those who will preach another gospel, those that pervert the gospel of Christ. So what I have told you a while ago is the truth, that the Bible is the most perverted book. It had invited the interest not only of those that believe in it, but those who are enemies of it. There are so many enemies of the Bible worldwide. Some other religions are trying to destroy the Bible. But I hope they cannot, and I believe they cannot. They cannot destroy the Bible, because its truth stands out to be outstanding. The truth, the wisdom, the morals that is in the Bible is outstanding compared to any other religious book. I hope I'm not offending any one of you. But I believe, and I can show everybody, that the Bible is on top of every other religious book on earth, because it contains prudence, wisdom, rational, that cannot be pulled down by any other books of religion. And that I will prove to you, God willing, as we continue this broadcast. Now, I'm just trying to emphasize that the Bible is the most used book. It is the most maligned book. It is the most perverted book. It is the most controversial book. It is the book that have invited the criticism of people, the belief of more than one-third of the world's population, and it is the only book that I believe that tells us the whole truth of everything that exists materially and spiritually. That's why we are going to use this book. But how are we going to use this book? That will be our topic for today. And pardon me if I have a very lengthy introduction. You see, I am fond of introductions, brothers and sisters. I do not just think say something, I want it to be properly introduced. A song is very nicely heard if it is properly introduced. I have known great songs, but they are, because of their greatness, they have introduction. It is not the song proper, but the introduction is very nice. The loveliness of Paris seems somehow sadly gay. Maybe if you do not know that introduction, you will not know the song. But those who were captivated by that song must know the introduction to that song. The glory that was Rome is just another day. I've been terribly alone and forgotten in Manhattan. I'm coming home to my city by the bay. That is the introduction of this very famous song. I left my heart in San Francisco. You see that? I have a very lengthy introduction of the topic that we are going to study today. But pardon me of my lengthy introduction, because I just want to open the minds of people and their interest regarding the most respected book on my part. And that is the Bible. How are we going to use the Bible? Would you believe that there is a biblical way of using the Bible? It is the only book that tells us of how it must be used. You can just open any book and you will not see any prescription there. But that's just like a medicine that is profitable for our health and well-being, the Bible has its prescription on how we are going to use it. That's the kind of book the Bible is. There is a prescription in it on how we are going to use it, so that we will not be misled, so that we will not be defrauded of the truth in the Bible, so that we will not be... There are those who are perverting the Bible, taking advantage of what the Bible says. They are using the Bible as a basis for their businesses in religion, but so that we will not be misled or defrauded, let us subscribe to this prescription of the book on how we are going to use it. What is the biblical way of using the Bible? That is our topic for today. Do you think it is an interesting topic, brothers and sisters? The biblical way of using the Bible. You see, there are ways and means, the rightful ways to use something which is important. When something is not very much important, you can just use it and just throw it away, just like those disposable cups, disposable spoons, and now I know there are disposable books. There are disposable books. Certainly, after reading some books, I am ready to dispose them because I cannot see wisdom in them. I believe they are disposable books. But the Bible is not a disposable book. It is a book to cherish, and it is a book to study. It is a book to be properly used. Our topic, as I have said, is the biblical way of using the Bible. How is that? Let us start. And this is the song proper. What I have spent for some minutes ago is just an introduction of our topic. Now we are going to the song proper, topic proper. How are we going to use the Bible? Of course, the Bible is God's Word. How are we going to use it? Are we going to interpret the Bible, brothers, sisters, and friends? Let it not be. Why? Let us see the kind of wisdom that is in the Bible. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verses 8 and 9, I read. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Did you notice that, brothers and sisters? The Lord, as the supreme being, as the creator, has thoughts which are not as our thoughts. Neither his ways are our ways. I agree to that. I hope you will agree too. Why? Nobody can make a sun. No human being can create a star. But somebody created them. Anything that comes into existence was caused by something. You see, there are people who do not believe in God. There are those who say that there is no God, that the universe is the product of a Big Bang. But what caused the Big Bang after all? It must be caused by an even, pristine, or an even earlier reason, if we can call it a reason. You see that, brothers and sisters? Considering the Big Bang, which is being believed by scientists worldwide, that the universe is the product of a Big Bang, where did that Big Bang start? What is the start of everything that exists? There is someone in the Bible that tells us of his thoughts, his kind of thinking. And he guaranteed that his thinking is not as our thinking. And to that I believe. There is somebody of higher thoughts than we are. If we are going to read it back and continue until verse 9, and I read, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." You see? Can anybody claim this? It is only my Lord who can claim this. And my Lord is the owner of the books, or the words in the Bible. He said that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. That is the God of the Bible. Anybody who want to refute that? Of course. There are reasons for everything that exists. Scientifically speaking, scientists say that nothing happens without a cause. If you have a scientific mind, you have to agree that. You have to accept that or to agree to that. That nothing happens without a cause. Do you believe that? Physicists believe it. Scientists believe that. That nothing happens without a cause. Why is there a sun? Why is there a moon? Why is there a solar system? Why does the Milky Way galaxy exist? There is a cause for the existence of this thing. We are not the cause. We are a part of what had been done by the cause. You see that? So, being a part of creation, we must acknowledge that somebody created everything, including ourselves. And he introduces to us himself in the Bible, and that is the God of the Bible. He said that my thoughts are not your thoughts. Well, I believe on that. I have seen people make people, but they are not people. They are robots. They may look like people, but they are not as good as people. Robots may have hands. Robots may have eyes. Robots may have feet, but they are not as good as the feet that was made by God and not man. We are men. The moon is not the product of our intelligence, of our thoughts. Imagine, brothers and sisters, if the moon has its own burning light, then it will make the earth hotter. But it has light, which is very good when it is the time is at night. It is very nice to have the moon there. The moon does so many things for earthlings like us. But the shine or the light of the moon is very different from the sun. It is closer to the earth. If it will be lighted as the light of the sun, then something serious will happen on earth. I believe so. I believe that that is science, that is scientific. But I'm just trying to prove that the thoughts and the thinking of God is not the thinking of man. No man can ever claim that he can make a moon or create a star or even a galaxy that contains billions of stars. Somebody powerful, somebody mightier than we are, somebody more knowledgeable and intelligent than we are, have caused the existence of all these things, including ourselves. And that is God. It is what is written in the Bible. He's telling us not to belittle us, but for us to discern, for us to consider his intelligence and his might. He's in the Bible that my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. What is the comparison? Excuse me. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, is the heavens from the earth. And nobody can say, nobody can really say, that even the best scientists equipped with the best Hubble Space Telescope can say how far the heaven is from the earth. So it remains that what God has seen is irrefutable by human thinking. He said that as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And to that I say, amen, God. Amen, my Lord. I accept it. If there are those who do not accept that, I think they are fools. They are idiots. What more can I say to those people who do not believe on that pronouncement of the Almighty? The heavens are higher than the earth. Can anybody refute that the heaven is higher than the earth? And the highness of the heaven than the earth is unfathomable until this time, proving to us that there is someone with unfathomable knowledge and wisdom that have created the heavens and the earth. Let us prove that in another verse of the scriptures. In the book of Romans chapter 1 verses 19 and 20 it says, I read, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. So nobody can show it. Things about God cannot be shown to us by man. It is God that will show them to us. How did he show? Let us continue on verse 20. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. I want you to consider verse 20. God has manifested his being unto us by the things that he made. Even the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen, What are the invisible things of God? His might. Would you believe, brothers and sisters, that we in our being also have invisible things in us? I tell you something. We have our mind, the way we think, the way we decide. But those are invisible things. Nobody can tell me where is my mind, or where is your mind, or what particular portion of your head is your mind. The mind is something invisible. Our emotions are invisible. They cannot be touched. They are not tangible. Now, there are those people who say, I will believe in God if I can see him. Because he said, to see is to believe. I ask him, do you see your mind? Then he stopped. Because if you cannot see your mind, then you do not believe that you have your mind. Then you are mindless. Then you are idiot. Then you are stupid. There are invisible things in our being. God equally, or more importantly, has invisible things in his being. But those invisible things, just his thinking, his compassion, his emotion, those invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, according to Paul. How? Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. You see? How do we now realize the being of God? His eternal power and Godhead are clearly displayed by his creation. That is what the Bible says. His Godhead is being displayed or understood or discernible by the things that were made by God. I will give you a very, very near example. The sun is only about 193 million miles away from the earth. It is not just like other stars. Other stars, sometimes you have to travel for 4 light years to reach the nearest star. But the sun is a star also. Our sun is only 103 million miles away, I think. Will you correct me, please? I do not have the data. But it is very near the earth. And that very near sun is a manifestation of the eternal power and Godhead of God. Why? The sun was there for billions of years, according to scientists. And until now, it's hot. Anybody who can kindle a fire that will last for a million years? No human being can do that. Somebody have done that. Oh, that is 93 million miles to be exact. I just added 100. 93 million miles. To be exact, it is only about 92.8800 something. The sun is 93 million miles away from the earth. It is the closest star that we can see. It is a manifestation of the eternal power and Godhead of God. Why? It seems almost inexhaustible. It was there for millions of earth burning with nuclear energy being thrown all over the near part of the solar system unto the earth especially. But as we can see, the sun is hot until now. It is the display of God's inexhaustible power, of his eternal power. How do we realize the eternal power of God? Through his creation. Now, why are we discussing these things, brothers and sisters? Because we are compelled to discuss these things to know the truth that are in the Bible. The Bible is speaking of the truth. Now, in order to gather all those truths that we need in order to rightfully serve God, worship him, believe him, etc., how are we going to use or discover that those truths in the Bible? We must use God's prescription in using the Bible. You see, I'm going back to what I have said earlier. The Bible is the only book that contains in it how we are going to use it. Now, what kind of a book is the Bible? The Bible contains the Word of God. The Word and the thoughts of God. His emotions is contained in the Bible. Now, how is that? What kind of thoughts or wisdom does the Bible possess? It contains in it the thoughts or the thinking of God. And that thought and thinking is not very easily discernible or understandable, brothers and sisters and friends. The Bible contains the thoughts of God. How can we, in our limited power of thinking, understand that if the Lord of the Bible will not open our minds? Our minds must be augmented by the mind of God. Our minds must be taught by the minds of God, who knows more than we know, for us to understand things that we do not know. Maybe you will say, why? Are there things we do not know? Of course. You are witnesses, whoever you are. Even if a scientist will listen, or the most intelligent person on earth now will listen to me, he cannot tell me that he knows everything. Even the wisest of human beings that ever existed on earth have confessed in the Bible that he do not understand everything that was created by God. And that was King Solomon, introduced in the Bible as the wisest king of Israel who ever lived on earth. And he said in Ecclesiastes 8:17, "Then I beheld all the works of God, that a man cannot find out the work that is done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yea, further, though a wise man think to know it, he shall not be able to find it." You see, there is a guarantee. The wisdom in the Bible is unfathomable. And for us to have a glimpse of that wisdom, we have to conform to the prescription of the owner of the Bible on how we are going to use it. That's our topic. How are we going to use the Bible? The biblical way of using the Bible is to follow the instruction of the owner of the wisdom in the Bible. And we are forewarned that we cannot easily understand that wisdom, because he that speaks in the Bible has a higher thought than we have. As the heavens is higher than the earth, so are my ways and thoughts higher than your thoughts. 55:9 of the book of Isaiah. Meaning, the Bible is a special book containing the thoughts and the ways, the emotions, the character of somebody who is higher than anybody else that exists. Now, how are we going to use the Bible? According to the prescription of the owner, so that we may have a glimpse or an understanding of his thoughts and his ways. Let us consult God in the Bible. And he says, in the book of Isaiah, chapter 34, verse 16, "Seek ye out of the book of the Lord, and read." That is the prescription. You see, those perverts, those deceiving pastors and ministers and priests do not read. They explain. The Bible need not explain. No human being can explain the thoughts of somebody higher than him. Is that agreed? Is that rational? Anybody in the chat board, can you answer that? Is it rational what I have said? nobody within your thinking can explain the thoughts of somebody higher in thinking than him. Amen? Anybody who will refute that? The Lord says, my thoughts are higher than my ways are higher than your ways. How high? As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts and ways higher than your thoughts and ways. Meaning, who are we to explain the Bible? There are those who try to explain the Bible. There are preachers who read the Bible and afterwards tell stories in order to explain the Bible. No. Now. No, 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 no. It must not be done. God forbid. Nobody must explain the thoughts of God who is higher in thinking than he is. You see that? That's why there are so many misled people in religion, because they are trying or attempting to explain the Bible. The Bible must not be explained. How are we going to use the Bible? Let us read. Let us read. Isaiah 34:16 says, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. You see, what we must do is to read. It's very clear. It doesn't say explain, expound on it. No. That is foolishness. How are we going to use the Bible? Read it. Read. Seek. Research. Search. Read. No explanation whatsoever. Let us read. But nobody is allowed to explain God's word. It's in the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. I read. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. You see? Does the Bible allow anybody to have a private interpretation of the prophecies or the words in the scriptures? No. No one is ever permitted by God to interpret the scriptures. So, the Bible must not be interpreted. It must be searched and must be read. The prescription tells us, seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. Now, it is a colon. There are still other things that we must read. 34:16, if you are going to read it with me, open your Bibles, brothers and sisters. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it has gathered them. The prescription is that we seek of the book of the Lord. How? We read. No one of these shall fail. None on their mate. So it is complete. When it comes to spiritual wisdom, knowledge, that one thing, it does not need any other book to explain it. Just like what other preachers are doing. I remember the Iglesia ni Manalo in the Philippines. Explaining what the Holy Kiss written by the Apostle in Romans 16:16 means. You see, what did they do? To explain the Holy Kiss, they went to use another book. And that is the Wycliffe commentary, Bible commentary, which is made by another man. In fact, a man whose religion they do not believe and they attack. But because they cannot explain rightfully the verse, they resorted to that, using that book, Wycliffe Bible Commentary. And according to Wycliffe, according to their interpretation, the Holy Kiss means the shaking of hands, or a beso-beso, or what have you. I said it is stupid. the Iglesia ni Manalo is proven to be ignorant of the Bible by saying that the Holy Kiss in Romans 16:16, commanded by the Apostle Paul to the Romans to do, to salute or to greet one another with the Holy Kiss, interpreting it to be a handshake, is foolish. It's foolish. A kiss is not a handshake. I remember that song. A kiss is still a kiss. A sigh, just a sigh. The world will always welcome lovers as time goes by. See, a kiss is still a kiss. You see? That song is better than the faith of the Iglesia ni Manalo. They interpreted a kiss to be a handshake. In that song, a kiss is really a kiss. When you say kiss, you will use your lips. You by your hands. See? See how perverted the faith of those people are, brothers and sisters and friends. They are resorting to explaining the Bible by their own ways. The Bible must not be explained. It is a book that interprets itself. No private interpretation is allowed by the owner of the book, and that is God. How do we use the book? Pick from it. Search from it. You will know the truth, and no one shall fail. None of this, according to the Lord, and none shall want her mate. No book must be used to interpret or to explain. The Bible will explain itself. It has all in it the things that you need for salvation. It has all the morals, the justice, the rational that you need to be a better person. They are all in the Bible. And to prove that, let us read another verse. In the book of 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 15 to 17, it says,
Thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
16.
All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness.
17.
That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
You see that? Brothers and sisters, that is a very clear verse of the Scripture. The Bible has it all. All the teachings that we need to equip us to be better people and better person, better communities of people, a better nation, and a better world than we are now. You see, the world is now so evil. There are wars, there are famine, there are rebellions, misunderstanding, there are abuses being made, human rights violations because of ignorance of the Bible. If we are going to be reminded of what the Bible says, from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. See? The Bible has a claim. It can make you wise unto salvation. It will not make you wise in business, in tampering, in creating a cartel, or a monopoly, or wise in earning money to the detriment of others. The Bible will not make you such a person. The Bible tells us it will make you wise unto salvation. It is able to make thee wise unto salvation. How wise? on verse 17, or on verse 16, it says, all scriptures is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. You see that? Doctrine-wise, the Bible must be used because it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. My brothers and sisters and friends out there, those that listen to this podcast, tell me of a good work, and I will read to you in the Bible. Maybe you do not know all the good works, but I can augment through reading the Bible the good works that you have known in whatsoever book you have read. And I dare you. I dare you. The Bible is not one thing of good works to be instructed to the people of God or to a man of God. That is my guarantee. That is a biblical guarantee. That none shall want her mate. Nothing will be wanting or lacking in the Bible. If you want doctrine, if you want wisdom, the Bible is able to make thee wise into salvation or unto salvation. And the Bible can make or equip thee with every good work. Why do people go evil? Because they lack good works. Why are there wars? Because they are wanting of good works and thoughts and compassion. Why are there kidnappers, robbers? Why are there bank robberies? Why are there weapons of mass destruction in the arsenals of powerful nations on earth? Because they lack the wisdom and the good works being taught by the Bible. Everything that is evil is because it is contrary to all the good things that are written in the Bible. You want to discover the good things, the good works, the good conscience, the good kind of thinking, how to be a good mother, a good father, a good husband and wife, how to be a good child, how to be a good leader, how to be a good president, how to be a good governor. You want to be how to be a good person, then consult the Bible. It has all the good works that must be equipped to anybody to make you a better and a good person. That is what I have discovered. And I dare you, if you do not trust what I say, you can ask questions. This program allows anybody to ask questions, any question under the sun when it comes to spirituality and religion. How are we going to use the Bible? Biblically, we must just read and search. And we will find all the good things, all the good works, all the good things that God wants us to be or to do. In the Bible, there are wisdom for salvation. Salvation. And can we now have a question and answer portion of this broadcast? Just tell me if anybody, our technicians, just tell me, just warn me if anybody wants to ask or to butt in or to interfere or to argue or whatever. This is open to everybody in all corners of the globe. As long as you can speak my language, you are welcome. I am a Filipino. I speak Tagalog. I understand a little of Spanish and a little of Portuguese. I also understand a little of English. Whatever, if you can speak Tagalog, the more. It is better. But if you do not know how to speak Tagalog, you just speak in English. And just speak it the Asian way. I do not want the English of the Canadians and the Americans and the British, because I cannot catch up with their accent. I'm sorry to say that. I prefer it being said clearly, not slang. Just please state your case clearly in English. And I am ever willing, and I'm very much willing, more than willing, to entertain everybody with God's help. I just want to prove to you my belief in the Bible. I'm not trying to destroy any other religious group or any other religious book. I'm just proving my book. I consider it my book. It's the book that I love, I respect. Wherever I go, I have it in me. Even if I forget it in the house and I am outside, it is in me. It is in my head. It is in my heart. It was printed in my heart. And I want everybody to share to everybody the knowledge, the good thing that I have discovered in reading the Bible. I am reading the Bible. I am not explaining it. See, the prescription of the owner is to read. Seek ye the book of the Lord and read. Are we allowed by God to add or to deduct anything from his words? Let us read. In the book of Jeremiah 26:2, it says, please.
Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word.
That is a very precise commandment of the owner of the book of the Bible. Diminish not a word. He speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house all the words that I command thee to speak unto them. Diminish not a word. So the Bible, containing the words of God, must be taught exactly, completely. Diminishing not a word. That is the way it is. That is the prescription of the owner and the author of the Bible. If we cannot diminish a word, can we add? Let us read. In the book of Revelation, chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, it says,
for I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
And that is a very clear warning of the Lord, owner of the Bible. He said through the apostle John, if any man shall add unto this thing, God shall unto him add the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away or diminish from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book. So the Bible carries with it blessing and curse. Blessings to those who will read it, who will take it as God wants us to use it, but a curse to those who will ignore the warning of the owner and the author of this book. Blessings and cursing. In order for us to fear, not to diminish or to add anything in the Bible, which has been happening for so many times, so long a time now. There are those, even during the time of the apostles and the prophets, who have tried to diminish the word of God, not to tell everything. They have stolen the word of God from people, and there are those who have hidden the words of God, and there are those who have added. Let us read the circumstances that happen to those people who do not fear the warnings of the owner of the Bible. In the book of Jeremiah 23, verse 30, it says,
"Therefore, behold, I am against the prophets, saith the Lord, that steal my words, every one from his neighbor."
There are prophets in the olden times, during the writing episodes of the Bible, that steal the words from their neighbor. And the Lord said, "I am against those prophets that steal my words, everyone from his neighbor." So the Lord have watched those times when the Bible are being written to be sure that everything he wanted to be written will be written down. Let us read Jeremiah, that is 1:12. Revised Standard Version of the book of Jeremiah 1:12, it says,
in the Revised Standard Version, "Then the Lord said to me, you have seen well, for I am watching over my word to perform it."
You see, there is a guarantee from the Lord during the time that the Bible is being asked by God to be written by the prophets, which he used as ten men to write his words. You see, the Lord said unto them, "You have seen very well, for I am watching over my word to perform it." And to that I say amen, because I lived after 3,000 years after the time of Jeremiah, and still the word of God is here on earth by the instrumentality of the written Bible. I am a recipient of God's revelation and wisdom through the Bible, because he watched over his words throughout the centuries. No attempt of the enemies of the Bible, from Satan unto his ministers and priests, who ordered. There are priests of the Roman Catholic Church who ordered the burning of some copies of the Bible in the time of Tyndale and Wycliffe. You see, but they were not victorious. They were not triumphant in eradicating the word of God from the face of the earth, because God had promised that he is watching over his words. There are those who, enemies of the Bible, who have been trying to destroy the Bible. But God is watching over his word to perform it. And by God's will, the Bible has reached us in this dispensation. And to that I praise God. I thank him. I now am a partaker of the grace and the wisdom that is in the Bible, which is profitable for doctrine, will make thee wise unto salvation, and will make you a good person, because in its pages are all the good things that a man of God needs to be equipped with goodness. Now, the Bible, when we use it, let us read. Let us not interpret it. That is God's admonition to those who will use the Bible. Read, search for the truth in it. In its pages, you will find the truth. No other book is needed to explain it. And to prove that, let me give you an example. There is a pronouncement in the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verse 2. Will you kindly read that, Brother Joseph?
Reads, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision.
There is such a phrase there which is very common, even in the United States, it's a very common phrase or it's a very common warning. Beware of dogs. The Bible tells us to beware of dogs. You see, Brother Joseph, you see, I studied a little of what we say etymology. Is that etymology or etymology in English? The words that we use now came from some words in the past. And I believe the etymology of the word beware is to be aware. Be aware. Beware. Be aware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Why? They might bite you, especially if they are Dobermans or they are big dogs, they may cause you harm. So beware of dogs. You can see that in houses, in compounds, in buildings, beware of dogs, something like that. But it is a biblical praise, a pronouncement. Beware of dogs. Now, how do we know who are these dogs? Why must be aware of these dogs? Aware of these dogs. Or let us follow the instruction of the owner of the Bible. Seek, read. That is the instruction. Seek and read. It did not say read and interpret. Just seek and read. Now, who are these dogs that we must be aware of? They are dangerous. If we seek, we read that in the book of Philippians. Or let us read all the books of the Bible. From Genesis, let us seek, 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 seek. What is admonished is seek, seek, search. Now, upon searching and seeking, we can read on 56:11 of the book of who are these dogs, which the Lord said, beware of dogs. Let us read Isaiah 56:11.
Yea, they are greedy dogs, which can never have enough, and they are shepherds that cannot understand. They all look to their own way, every one for his gain from his quarter.
You see, that is now very apparent that the Bible, the Lord God is telling us something for our safety. Beware of dogs. And who are these dogs? These are not the ordinary dogs we see. The German shepherds, etc. These are not ordinary dogs. These are biblical dogs. Of course, dogs are our best friend, according to some belief that dogs are our best friends among the animal kingdom. There are those who love their dogs very much. But these are not dogs to be loved. Why? Because they can never have enough. Cannot. Remember the saying, Brother Joseph, it is hard to please anybody or everybody?
Everybody, yes, brother.
You know, there are ways to please people. Even the most aristocrat of them all can be pleased. But there are people which you really cannot please. You know who are they?
Are they, brother?
The dogs in the Bible. You cannot please them. They can never have enough, according to the Lord. They are shepherds that do not understand. These are shepherds, blind shepherds. These are shepherds without enough knowledge. These are pastors, religious teachers, religious preachers that cannot understand the way of God. What did they do? They look all to their own way. Everyone for his gain. You see, there are preachers for gain. There are prophets for gain. There are priests for gain. There are ministers for gain. They are dogs. They can never have enough. So they will not stop asking money, tithes, offerings, prayer requests from their members, even though they are billionaires and millionaires, and their members are squatters, the poorest of the poor. They will ask contributions from you. They can never have enough. These are the greedy dogs. But the Bible tells us, beware of dogs. Be aware of dogs. There are so many dogs now. They are in coat and tie and suit. They are riding their own private aircrafts. They are in Mercedes-Benzes. Bulletproof, they are. They have their own luxurious cars. They are greedy dogs. They can never have enough. There are so many of them. There in your place, Brother Joseph, there are so many of them. Everywhere in the world, they are scattered. These are dogs. These are shepherds that do not understand God's way. They look to their own way. They are not of God. They are dogs. What did they do? Let us read. In the book of Romans, chapter 10, verse 3, it says,
for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God.
You see, because they cannot understand these greedy dogs that can never have enough. Beware of them. You cannot please them. They can never have enough. Because they do not understand God's word and God's way, what did they do? They, being ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. You see that, brothers and sisters and saints? They have established their own. They have put up their own churches and religions. They have put up their own doctrines and commandments for them to be enriched. To enrich themselves at the expense of others, especially the poor. That is my example in solving a biblical thing that you do not readily understand. The word beware of dogs. Who are these dogs? We have discovered. How? Did we interpret the Bible? No. We just seek and read. And there is a promise for those who will read the Bible, who will not interpret it, who will not diminish its word, who will not add up to it. There are those, there is a promise of God to those who will read. Revelation 1:3, it says,
blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand.
You see, there is a blessing that was promised by God to those that read. Do not interpret. It says, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. So there is a blessing promised by God. If we are going to follow His way in using the Bible, we just have to seek, read, and we will find the explanation coming from the unfathomable thought and wisdom of God. We cannot interpret God's word or wisdom. We have no capacity to understand God's thoughts and ways. But if we are going to follow His instruction in using the Bible, that we read and seek and read and seek and read, we will be enlightened as to what He means by what He says in the Bible. That is the biblical way of doing it. And I hope that is clear to everyone. Now, do we have anybody to ask questions in the room?
Yes,
do we have Brother Joseph?
Yes, Brother Eli, we have on queue.
what's that? That Nandi, what's that? What is the question, Brother Joseph? Hello, hello, Brother Joseph. Am I going to wait for the question to be read, or am I going to read the question myself, or what are we going to do? Remember, this is a major broadcast, and I'm not accustomed very much to how are we going to tackle this thing. Brother Joseph, the question, who will read the question, who will shoot the question, who will ask the question?
We'll
and I can read on your computer.
Yes, Brother Eli. We'll
yes,
get guests who are willing and asking questions, and they will talk to you directly, Brother Eli.
Now, can we start?
Yes, can we have now Nandi1631? His user ID is Nandi1631. Hello, Nandi? Hello? Your audio is not yet coming in. Try it again, brother. Or I don't know if you're a brother or a sister. Okay? Nandi1631, please come in. Hello? And for the others who also want to ask questions, you may click the icon, request to talk, okay? So you can be put on queue. Anytime you can be pulled out so that you can ask your question to Brother Eli. All right. Oh, okay. He said he'll fix his headset. So we'll go to another guest for the meantime. Let's get 5 California. Oh, is that S? I'm sorry. I read it 5. Okay. S, California. You there? Let's unmute his microphone so he can talk. He or she can talk. S, California, come in. Hello? S, California, you there? You're on. Hello? S, California, not coming in. Okay, go ahead, please. Hello?
Hello? Please go away. S, California, please go ahead. Please go ahead. Do not go away. I'm waiting for you.
Go ahead. Please stop now. Hello? S, California. Your audio is not coming in. Go ahead, please. Hello? Hello?
Mr. or Miss S. California, we are waiting for you, Mr. or Miss California, S. California, we are waiting for you. How about in New Jersey, Brother Joseph?
That's right, Brother Eli.
New Jersey,
come in, please.
That's right.
You are unmuted now. New Jersey, come in, please. Hello? New Jersey? New Jersey, please come in. You may ask your question now. Hello? Hello? For the others, please click request to talk. That button in the right upper right corner of your web page so that we may put you on queue. What's that? Oh, okay. We'll just read it for Nandi. Brother Eli, Nandi1631 cannot come in, so he just typed in his question. He's still working on
and
his headset, but his question is,
can you read it?
Eli, does Brother Eli have any advice on sinusitis?
Sinusitis? Advice on sinusitis? I have to be true to my promise. Anyway, any question, whatever it is, although it is out of the topic, I will entertain it. Sinusitis is the question. Advice on sinusitis. You see, sinusitis is caused by toxin, mostly. Most cases of sinusitis is caused by toxins accumulated not only in the nasal cavity, but also in the entire body. Now, remember that the sinuses located inside the nasal cavity is loaded with toxins, and sinusitis is some kind of it's something like an allergic reaction. It is a natural body defense. That's why the sinuses are being inflamed, and that is that what causes sinusitis. Now, the advice is for it or the symptoms to be alleviated, for you to a regimen of cleansing. Cleansing. There are so many causes of sinusitis. They can be viral, sometimes it can be bacterial, and the accumulated of cause or the defense of persistent, let us say persistent or chronic sinusitis is because of toxins sometimes. The most common, if it is not recurring, the most common is can be viral, it can be bacterial, it can be also fungal. That is what by the medical profession. Because the sinuses in the nasal cavity is prone to because we breathe in dust. Sometimes in those dust, like in our homes, sometimes there are dust mites. There are fungus in the house. There are bacteria outside, there are bacteria inside the house, there are virus inside, there are virus outside the house, at the home. Those are causes of sinusitis. Also, allergies can also lead to a person, for a person to develop sinusitis. It's what they call bacterial sinusitis, sinusitis caused by allergies, sinusitis caused by virus, etc., etc. But the best cure for a recurring or a chronic sinusitis is to enhance the ability of the immune system to fight these bacteria and viruses by the toxins of the body, detoxification. That is what they call detoxification. You can lower the risk of getting sinusitis if you have a very healthy immune system. So we advise you to have a detox program. Detox can be achieved by juice fasting. If your sinusitis is recurring or if it is caused by toxins in the body, then you must detox. And to detox is to have juice fasting, stop eating first processed food, detox the entire body, and you will be not very prone to sinusitis, infections, etc., etc. I cannot elaborate much on this, but what you have to do is to determine first what causes your sinusitis. Is it bacterial infection or is it viral infection? Is it allergy? When it is allergy, then it must be prompted by toxins or allergen, etc. Then you can take the necessary steps. If you have analyzed what kind of sinusitis you have, so it is the question of diagnosis. You see, in the United States, the third killer, number three killer in the United States, is misprescription, misdiagnosis. So diagnosis is very much important. That is my first advice. If you discover that your sinusitis is because of allergy, not fungal, not bacterial, not viral, because of allergy, maybe the accumulation of toxins in your body is causing the allergy, then detox. I have a sinusitis, episodes of sinusitis in the early 80s. You remember that, Brother Joseph, when I'm often doing like blowing my nose. But when I have employed the detoxification program, then it was gone. Thank God. That is what I can say for the meantime about that. Let us discuss that topic in another episode. But we just want to serve as many as possible. There are those questions that are lining up in our chat board. Can we get another, Brother Joseph?
Yes.